God's Word says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And if you listen to Jeff Prindle's song there, we can see Jesus being the great Savior and encourager to us. Certainly He provides that encouragement to us on a moment-by-moment basis. So if your soul needs built up and strengthened to encourage others, turn to the Lord. He'll do that for you. He's very faithful. There's millions and millions of people throughout history have turned to Christ and found him to be true and one who loves all the time and one who's with us all the time. And He also brings a ministry of correction and urgency. In fact, the word encourage one another, means to keep each other alert, keep each other on our toes. It's if you'd go up to somebody and say, hey, you could do this. You could follow the Lord. That would be an encouragement. Or, you're good at that. Now, don't pick something they're not good at. But many people are good at some service to Christ. Say, you're good at that. You can continue to do that. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. God's Word says, if we don't do this, we'll get a hard heart and a hard head. So when we encourage, it's beneficial both to the receiver and to the giver. Sometimes we'll encourage somebody and they'll say, yeah, so what? I'm not impressed by what you have to say to me or anything like that. That would be kind of hard-hearted. But if anybody says that, just say, hey, I'm just obeying God. So thank you for doing what you're doing. That's a ministry of encouragement. Physically, we were created for the encouragement of human contact. That's a big deal. People do studies. I don't know why they do this to little babies. Sometimes they take a child and one child, they'll talk to the child a lot and hug the child a lot and encourage the child. And that child, he's out there in terms of moving around and taking on life and things like that. If a child is not spoken to, a child is not touched, okay, and just carry that up to where you are. You're 50, you're 60, you're 70, not touched, not spoken to. Pretty soon, the world's a scary place. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen. Okay, Christian counselors say we need 7 encouragements every day, or 7 significant touches every day. Okay, and in our world, it's a big deal if you reach out and tap somebody on the arm. It's like, whoa. But God's Word says move in that direction. Okay, so when you leave today, you can go up to anybody and just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're set for the day. Now, that's one not quite accurate application. Encourage one another as long as it is called today. Encourage each other daily. Encouragement points to fellowship. Without fellowship, we get an unbelieving heart and turn away from God. Hey, the first sign of moving away from Christ, being He created us for Himself, for one another. One initial sign of moving away from Christ is inconsistent church attendance. Okay? There's no apology for that. Truth, if I'm not around God's people, I'm not going to be around God. If I'm not listening to my brother and sister in Christ, pretty soon I won't be listening to Christ either. So that's a big push toward being connected to one another. We were built to love God and be loved by Him. We were also built to love others, be loved by them. And if I don't love God's people, then I don't love God. That makes sense. If I took some of your family and said, I'm apathetic toward this one, I don't care about that one, and this one over here is a pain in the neck, you would say, well, you don't think very highly of me. And the same way we do toward the Lord when we perhaps become the accuser of His children, and somebody else already has that job. If you're familiar with the Bible, it would be the devil who's the accuser of the brothers and sisters in Christ. So God's will is that we not be in isolation, shoulder to shoulder, following Him, just being looking out for each other in a way that His Spirit produces, natural way, almost like a second nature, supernatural. Our physical family and spiritual family does have some parallels. God chose them both for us. Both of them are led by Christ. Okay, so it's kind of a holy thing, both family and spiritual family, Christian family. And there's sin in both of them. Every sin you find in your house, you'll find in God's house. Okay, in the fellowship. And so we turn to Christ, we become recovering sinners through the grace of God. And also, both our physical family and spiritual family is the place where we learn to love. Most of us don't learn how to love at a phone booth. Okay, you go to a phone booth, and when I get out of this phone booth, make me a lover of others. You learn how to love by being around people, by being toward the Lord, yielded toward Him. That's a humbling thing, but that's the case. So beware of, I call it the antisocial social media that promotes to connect you with another human being, but upon a basic observation would say, it doesn't appear that you're connecting to other human beings very in much of a personal way there. Not much love passed on. I imagine many people weren't won over toward love with a text message or anything like that. How many of the characters there are, I don't know, but that many characters to say I love you, and that's that. Not much fervency there. So to learn how to love by being connected to one another, and love, by the way, is the highest mark of Christian maturity, sign of growing up. And to keep in mind, God puts us in that spiritual family, Christian to Christian, because it's actually stronger than our physical family. And that's a very precious group of people. So the one another commands of the Lord are really big in the Bible. In the New Testament, there's about 51 of them. I'm not going to go through them all, just pick some representative ones and show how they help us get instructions to follow Jesus by the one-on-one or one another phrase, or the each other phrase. And again, this is an area for most of Christians that's a little rough, and it's hard to grow into. My own life, it's more weakness than strength, but I'm thankful the Lord, He keeps pushing me along in this area. So here's the one another verses, just some of them. Bear with one another. In other words, you hang in there when things are going rough for the other person. As Ben Franklin said, we hang together or we hang one at a time. Better to hang together as a group. And then be subject to one another. That means what you have to say is more important than what I have to say. Amen? Amen. You like that part. What you have to say is more important than what I have to say, being subject to one another. And then the Lord will tell the truth in there from either one of us. And then bear one another's burdens. Burdens are halved when we share them. Someone else is upset with us or weeping with us. And also joys are doubled when you share good news. Somebody shared good news before the church today. They said there was a spot on their lung, and the doctor said, this is a spot. We got to watch this. We don't know what. And they went back with the x-ray. No spot. And the doctor said, it never happened before. I don't know what happened there. That was a praise to God. We thank the Lord for that. But share each other's experience. Be at peace with one another. Confess your sins to one another. Very difficult, but it does work. Sometimes that happens during a testimony time. Sometimes that happens just one-to-one. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. It means you really want the other person to get strong. And count one another. Here's a good one. Count yourself better than others. Now, that's a misquote. That was the Bob Daniels version of the Bible. No, it's count others better than yourselves. Okay, count others better than yourselves. That's the looking out for the other guy. Then build up one another, comfort one another, forgive one another. A great message on that on the internet, as Jeff Ewing preached on that last Sunday night. Show hospitality to one another. It does take an open-heartedness to do that. Have fellowship with one another. Provoke one another to love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, you'll never do anybody a greater favor than in a loving manner to severely put them in the right direction. Give a severe word of correction, okay, and direct. You only do that to the people you love, you know. That's different from criticism. Criticism's kind of from a distance and you're not involved in the people's lives. But rather, to give construction to their soul by provoking one another to love. Praying for one another, being like-minded, serving one another, all kind of good stuff. Instructing one another. Again, the listening ministry, real important for encouragement. Bonhoeffer said, he who can no longer listen to his brother and sister will soon no longer be listening to God either. Okay, and that's a true one. You want to say, God, Jesus, you live in this person. Your Holy Spirit is in them. What can I hear of you and what they're saying? And then you pass that on to other people too. Accept one another. That's a fantastic one. That everybody feels as welcome as Jesus would. But Paul said that even the Galatians did that. The Galatians didn't understand salvation. But when Paul came to him, they said, this guy, we're going to treat him like we would the Lord. That's a good standard for us to have. And then love one another commanded about 10 times. And we need the Lord working in our soul to be able to do any of these things. Tony Campolo tells a true story about the power of Christian fellowship. Just, you know, one believer kind of alongside another one. He went to a funeral home to visit somebody who he was acquaintance of and just expressed sympathy, but he went to the wrong funeral home. Went in and there was in the room there was only a widow and one person and the deceased. And so he wanted to leave the room quietly, but the widow came up to him and said, well, you knew my husband, didn't you? You must have been a friend of him's. And he felt bad for the gal, so he didn't come, you know, he didn't say what was really going on. He said, I'm sure your husband was a wonderful man, and I'm very sorry for your loss. And she said, come and sit with me for a while and let's talk. And so he did. He went and sat and stayed with her for a good hour, just listening to her heart. The service was going to start. Yeah, I'm staying for the service. Okay. And then time to go to the cemetery. I'm going to the cemetery too. Okay. So just saying, you know, with the open door opportunity, spending a couple hours with somebody in fellowship at the end of the time, the lady said, but you'll never know what it meant to me for you to be here. You know, and that's the joy of just being around another Christian could make a difference in whatever valley you're going through. I'm sure this gal was, you know, ready to follow Christ a lot better after that time. Bonhoeffer, in a book called Life Together, been around for about 70 years, said the physical presence of another Christian is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. And we take that for granted. Interesting, we'll talk to, you know, David Kindervater when he comes through here. In Japan, about less than 1% of the population believe in Christ. So when you meet another Christian, it's a big deal. And I'm sure you've had that experience. You go to work, maybe a new job, you're a little bit uptight, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's another Christian works right in this group here, near to where I am. Hey, you know, we could work together. We could talk together. You go to school, young person. Oh, I'm in the geography. You know, I hate geography, but there's this cute little gal. She's a Christian, and I'm interested in her there. Or you go to the hospital, and you're very nervous. Are you going to get better or not get better? And the nurse talks with you, and she is led to say, I'll pray for you. Oh, guess what? I have a nurse who's a Christian. That's a source of incomparable strength and joy. And God says, encourage one another as long as it is called today. and He gives us grace. And He's the source of all those comforts. Spontaneous fellowship is the best kind, where you just, by God's leading, you come and you just, you know, listen or give a greeting word to another person. That's the best kind. My family has to remind me when we go through Taco Bell drive-through, it's not the time to develop a relationship with the people at the window. Get the food and get moving. But for built-in fellowships times, Sunday school is a good time. Monday morning, there's a gals' Bible study. Tuesday night, there's the men. They get together. And it's almost like a miracle of God. You see men start talking about the Lord and about how they're doing. And you think that only God could pull this off. And Wednesday, same thing with the men and women fellowship times. Here's some things you can pass on to one another in terms of, this would be an encouraging question to ask, you know, your brother and sister in Christ as you get to know them. How's your relationship with God right now? That's a very personal question, but it allows a person to share as much as they want to share and give you a chance to know how to care and how to pray for them. What have you read in the Bible this past week? And it's okay to say, it's not okay, but the best thing to say if you didn't read, I didn't read anything in the Bible. Okay. Well, would you like to this week? And then I'll see how it went next week. Spurring one another on to love and good works at that point. Who are you praying for? Gets you a chance to know where the concerns of the person are. What are you doing for recreation? This is an important one. We're not machines. We're not robots. God wants us to set aside time so that we could gain rest and rejuvenation with Him. One guy said, we honor the Lord. This is a stretch, but I think it's true. We honor the Lord as much when we play as when we pray. Okay? Next one. How are you doing with your family? That's a very personal topic, but that's the area where God wants to work in. Remember, you're in that family to learn how to love. So don't accuse them of being the wrong group for you. Are there any unresolved conflicts? You know, is there any walls up? If there's a wall between you and your brother and sister, guess where the wall ends up? Right above your head. So as much as possible, live at peace with each other so you can walk with the Lord. Even Paul said, you better get along with your spouse or your prayers are going to be hindered. There. So that changes our prayer life right there. And then, what are you most thankful for? A person can really run with this. Even in our most desperate, difficult times, very painful, we were singing it, you know. Even when you're just about to die, you'll probably say, I still have 10,000 reasons to thank God for God. I mean, He just rolls His faithfulness through us. Conversations you might be avoiding. Here's a good question. Do you feel God is pleased with you at this point in your journey? If you know the Lord, you should be able to, God invites you to humbly say this, yes, by the grace of God. You know, He's 100% pleased. Not because I have grown all I need to grow, but because I'm really trusting in Him. The guy who's at he's the weakest Christian you know. God is as pleased with him as the strongest Christian. He's working with him to get him moving. And then this is a good one. Which part of God's mission are you most excited about? Which part are you most confused about? To say, God has made you, created you to serve. And do you feel life when you do that? All the chances to be an encouragement to one another. That's the point, of course. And you were providentially placed to do this. you know, with the people around you, with your family, and everybody you meet. And God will do it through you. We give the Lord the credit, since He's the source of every good gift. And encouragement is a powerful, powerful ministry. It's an every person in need of ministry. There's not a person in the world that doesn't need more strength from the people around them. God has called you to do that. Strengthen their faith by pointing them to Jesus. And for your own self, hey, the best way to be a great encourager is to say, I trust Christ and I receive Him. Then God will do fantastic things through your life that will count for eternity. And we're glad to have this call from God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the practical one another verses in the Bible, and to give us a chance to walk side by side with each other and Jesus leading the way. We ask, Lord, we would be encouragers, be able to receive encouragement, and in this way not turn away from you. We don't want to be hardened by sin's deceit. So this can break down a lot of problems that we have. So help us hear your voice to speak out or reach out to others, and also to receive what we need from your grace upon grace. Bless each one here, Father, and thank you for some of these folks have a great, they sit around thinking of ways to encourage, and ministries are produced, and this is all of you. So bless them real good, and keep our hands open, our mouth open, and our ears, above all, our ears open also. In Christ's name, amen.